you'll meet me there. All week had decided I was going to preach out of John chapter 1, and I had a message entitled A Voice in the Wilderness, and it was, we're going to start really exploring the first character, really the second character there in the book of John, which is John the Baptist and his message. But as the week went on and progressed, I was more and more led to preach a message directed right at fathers. It's almost like this: why would I miss an opportunity to yell at some dads? Okay, basically is how that worked. Because I think we need it. We just need it. Sometimes we need a shot in the arm or maybe a kick in the pants, right, as dads, just to be doing what is right. And so what we're going to do, I'm going to read this text. We're going to read verses 3-7, and then I'm going to get off of the text for a little bit, and then I'm going to come back. So it's a little bit different message, but hang with me because I think there is some help for us dads here in the text. And by the way, if you're here and you're not a dad today, don't worry, the Bible is applicable to all people, right? And so there should be something for you as well. But if you found Proverbs 20, if you'll stand with us for the honor of reading God's Word, aren't you thankful you have a Bible this morning? Amen. All right, let's look at verse number 3. The Bible says it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. Listen to these next few words. His children are blessed after him. Father, we do pray. I pray, Lord, for your help this morning. Lord, I know there's help here in the text. I know that as you gave Solomon these words, and Lord, he's certainly thinking of that father-son relationship all throughout the Proverbs, but especially here, there's a lot of application to us as dads, and I know there's help here. I just pray, Lord, that we would do what's necessary to block out distractions. Lord, that you would help us with that. Help us to be able to hear from your Spirit today. May your word make it into the hearts of everyone who's here. I pray for your help in preaching. God, would you please give me the words to say and the clarity of thought, and Lord, even a passion and a exuberance to preach what you've given me, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, you would do a work in this hour. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. So hold your place there in Proverbs 20, and I promise that we will come right back to it. We're going to go through it really verse by verse, and when we get there, we're really, we might say, starting the message. But before we get to that, just by way of introduction, I just want to remind you, and I said this earlier, but I want to remind you that the family is God's idea. The idea of the family is God's idea. We won't do it for sake of time, but we could establish this all the way back in Genesis. So the very, very beginning of mankind, starting with the very first man. I mean, God didn't wait till generations had passed and such. No, he established the family really within his creation, right? Because he made Adam, and he looked at Adam, and it's not as if God forgot Eve, right? It's not as if he looked and said, well, he's bored, you know, he needs a helpmeet. It's not what he did, but he includes some of that language so that we know why God created then his wife. And so he took a rib from Adam, and he made Eve, and I will say this: I was embarrassingly old when I finally found out that men and women have the same number of ribs. All growing up, my mom told me, she always told me, yeah, you have one less, and she'd feel around in there and start tickling me, and you have one less than girls because of this story in Genesis. And it took me a while to realize it wasn't my rib that was used. But it was Adam. So Adam had one less. All of us, the rest of us, were born with the same number as you ladies. But she also told me that this ring in my collar is because I was made out of dirt. That's also in Genesis 1, okay? So if your mom didn't give you that sort of instruction, I don't know how to help you. But anyway, God established the family right there in his creative order, okay? And let me just be clear. He established the family as a husband, a wife, and children. A man, a woman, for a lifetime. That's what the Bible says about marriage. And just, you know, this isn't the message today, but our world has got a really perverted idea of what a family should look like. Anything outside of what God established in the order is what the Bible would call an abomination. Okay, just trying to be clear. So he established this order, this family structure way back in Genesis. And then right there in Genesis, he created the order to the family, and that order is also retaught and relearned as we read the whole Bible. But I just want, I'm not here, I'm here to preach to all that are here, but I really want to focus in on the Father's Day because it is Father's Day. And so I just want to remind us of where we dads fall in the order of the family, because this is God's plan. So if you'll, you could turn there if you'd like, Ephesians 5, and hold your place in Proverbs, we'll be right back there. But look at Ephesians 5, and Ephesians is a great place, especially chapters 5 and 6, to see not only the structure of the home as it's given in the Bible, but also the order. You realize there's an order to the home. God established a leader and that sort of thing. And so Ephesians 5 and verse 22, and we'll get to some other verses as well here, so we're going to flip around a little bit. But it says here, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." So we have an order given here. Actually, let me go. I'm going to turn there. I wrote that verse down, but I didn't read the verse I wanted to read. So let me turn there. Let's start in chapter 5 there. Look at verse, just go back to 22. I said 22, and then I think I read 24. Look at verse 22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water, the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." And so the order of the family, we could look across the page to Ephesians 6 and verse number 1. Let's continue with that family order. So we have the husband who is the leader of the home. He's called the head of the home. And then the wife is to reverence her husband. So she follows along behind the husband. And then we have the children coming up next in chapter 6, verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So God establishes the structure of the home. Then he establishes the roles of the home. And I'm just telling you that this is just the Bible. It's just the Bible. Our world rejects this idea. Our world fights against this idea. And I'll tell you this, husbands tend to fight against the idea. Husbands struggle with leading. No, I'm here today. I mean, husbands, we're real good at pulling out Ephesians 5 and, "Hey, listen here, woman, it says here that I'm the head and you're supposed to submit." Let's don't forget our role in leading. You know this, husbands, you might struggle to lead. Wives sometimes struggle to follow and kids struggle to obey. But those are the rules. That is how God established the home. And I'll just say this, if you do the home God's way, guess what? The home works. It works. Why? Because it was God's idea. It was God's idea. So I'm not coming to you this morning. We just read the text. I didn't write it. Thankfully, Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote these words. I didn't write it, but there is an order. But I'm not here really. I mean, ladies, if you're here, I hope you're listening, but I'm not here to really preach at you. I'm here to remind you, Dad, that God put you as the leader of your home. That's where he put you. You are to be the leader of the home. And there's reasons for this order. And the reasons are confirmed for us all throughout the scripture. I thought about, and I'm just going to tell you right now, I've got too much to do here in this sermon to give you all of it. That's why, let me just put a little plug in. That's why we do things like family conference. That's why we do things like men's, we don't retreat as men, right? We advance or we go, but there's a men's, what is it? Oh, man up conference. That's why we do that, so that we have more opportunity to learn from God. It can't all be given to us in 30 minutes. There's a lot here I want to deal with. And so I'm just going to hit, this is a shotgun message. I'm just going to shoot and we're going to see what happens here, where it hits. But the order has reasons. One of the reasons that the family has order is, and you could sum it up in one word, and the word is security. Security. There's security in the order. I've seen it emphasized or illustrated rather of the umbrella. Remember, Christ is the head. He's the top umbrella, and his umbrella is bigger than everybody's. And then right under him, we have the husband's umbrella, and that umbrella is smaller than Christ, but it's a little bit bigger than the wife. And then the wife's umbrella comes next, and then the children are under that. And just look at the levels of protection in that many umbrellas of authority, leadership. It's for security. And it's for security various ways. Firstly, for general protection. Every man knows or should know that it is his duty and it is his job to protect the home, right? Amen? We're to be protectors of our home. If there is a strange noise in the middle of the night in your home, and husband, you lay in bed and your wife goes to investigate, we need to talk. That's not how it should be. I remember one time, this is years ago, we were living in Lubbock, so boy, this is a long, long time ago, and in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m, I mean, I was in like REM, stage 4, whatever, sleep. I mean, I'm out. And all of a sudden, our alarm decides to go off. And I remember it was, you know, sometimes your alarm goes off and it's just like a beep, right? And some of you, okay, let me back up. Anyone in Wyoming have an alarm? We shouldn't do that because then the crooks are looking around like, you know. Here, I don't know if you even lock your doors. But anyway, where I'm from, it was necessary, okay, necessary. And so we had an alarm. And you know, sometimes it'd go off and just be like a shrill beep, but this was not this. This was like, it was like the fire department was in your living room. That's how the alarm sounded. And like 3 or 4 a.m, I'm sleeping rather heavily. I hear this alarm, and I'm telling you this, my eyes just popped open, and immediately this adrenaline rush, like I probably never felt since, just courses through my body. I jump out of bed in my pajamas, and I just literally run into the living room, fist clenched. There's a big gun laying right beside my bed that I left there. I don't know what my plan was. I don't know. I have no idea. At the end of the day, I said this. I was like, I'm just thankful it was a false alarm because I went out there unarmed. But I was glad. I was glad about this. It wasn't my wife running out into the living room, right? No, we're to protect our home, provide security. But the security is not just physical protection. The security is also for provision. Provision. The Bible says this, but if any provide not for his own, especially those for his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And so as a husband, we know part of our role, and I know ladies work and contribute to the home. I know that. I don't have a problem with that. I even have some scriptural basis that's good and that's okay. But I'm just telling you, guys, it is our primary job to secure the home, both physically and financially. It's our job. If the bills aren't being paid, the buck will stop with you, gentlemen, not with your wife. That's part of that security. The security is not just, though, physical. It's not just for financial, but can I say this? It's also spiritual. Spiritual security. I want to take you all the way, we won't go there, but I could take you all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And that story where the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And we know from the scriptures, and ladies, this is not a slight against you, but the scriptures very clearly say Adam was not deceived, but Eve was. And if I read that story, one of the things I think about in the Garden of Eden there, when I'm sort of reading that story again, we joke about this, right? Guys, we joke that, hey, it was really Eve's fault. Did you know this? That's not what God said. No, it was Adam that was in the transgression. You know the question that comes to my mind? Where was Adam? Where was he? When the serpent showed up, and I don't know, he was to keep the garden. He had work to do. But where was Adam when this happened? Right? We don't know. But he wasn't right there where he could have protected his wife from the spiritual attack. You see, even the lost people know that you're supposed to protect and provide for your house. Guys, even the lost guys know that. All these people, we got a lot of hardworking people around here in our area. And I'm just going to tell you, there's a general understanding, and I know you can point at some example of some guy that's not working and all that. I know there's those examples, but the vast majority of even lost men in our community would understand this. I have to provide for my house, and I have to protect my house. So let me just say this. It's not good enough for us to stop right there. We have to do better than the world. We know more that it's not just about finances and it's not just about physical protection, but there is a spiritual battle going on. And dads, we're at the top rung of that level of protection for our family. If you step out of the way, your wife takes the attack. And your wife can only handle that attack for so long because the attack, she was not designed to withstand that attack. And so then at some point, she's going to step away, and then guess who gets the attack? It's the children. You say, I don't know about all that. Go back and read Genesis 27, and go back and talk to Isaac. Isaac was one who stepped out of the way, and all of a sudden, his wife stepped up and started making decisions that she wasn't called to make. And the next thing you know, Jacob is ostracized from his family for over 20 years. And I get on Jacob too. I can preach all day about Jacob. He was a supplanter. He did a lot of bad things. But I'm going to tell you this, it started all the way back in the home when Isaac was more concerned about a pot of venison than he was his family and his role as a dad. There's reason for the order. And one of the reasons, we could say this, the main reason is that spiritual protection. The order is for leadership and direction. I've got several of these. Again, we haven't started the message yet. Y'all doing okay? Okay. The order is for leadership and direction. Too many dads today are content to provide and protect, but have left all the leadership in the home to mom. All the leadership in the home to mom. Or even worse, the children. I'm struggling with what to jump on. There's a lot of things to jump on. When I hear parents say, we're not coming to church, we're not going to this thing or this because the kids, I'm just telling you, do you let your kids choose what they eat? If my kids chose what they ate, I could tell you what all of them would eat. And I could tell you they'd all be in very, very bad shape. They're not grown up and mature enough in physically, but even spiritually to make those sort of decisions. Dad, that it starts with you. But too many times I see families where it's mom making all of the spiritual decisions and mom leading and taking the initiative and doing all the directing. And I'm telling you, when you take a back seat, your whole family is going to go off the wrong direction. It's just the facts. A leader, you're called to lead. It's right here in Ephesians. A leader goes first. Goes first. You should be setting the tone for your family, Dad. You should be the first to follow the Lord. You should be the first to encourage, to read the Bible. You should be the first out of bed getting the kids ready for church and wake up. Here we're going again. Yep, they're having church again today, Dad. Yep, they're having church again and we're going. Too many dads are sitting there like the kids asking mom, do we have to go today? You think I'm joking. I'm not joking. That's a problem in Christianity today. Dad, you're not one of the kids. You're the leader. Can you imagine on the battlefield what might happen if the leader decided, I'm not leading today? Could you imagine what would have happened to the children of Israel if Moses just said one day, you know what, you guys figure this out on your own. Have you read about Israel? Or if Joshua, when he was called to be the leader, didn't step up and lead. Could you imagine if the Lord himself never came and led those 12 disciples, if they were just left to their own devices, the mess that they were in? What happens when a leader steps out of leadership in the home? Nothing good. Everyone's left to fend for themselves. So you're the leader. Leader goes first. In the Bible, leadership is it's different than worldly leadership. So let me say this, Dad. You're not the king of your home. You're the leader. Jesus Christ is the only king. You're not the king. You're not the dictator. Your wife and your kids are not your loyal subjects. No. In the Bible, it's this, servant leadership. So as a dad, I'm supposed to lead my family as the Lord leads me. I have to listen to the Lord, which means I have to have a relationship with the Lord. And I have to be in communication with the Lord. I have to be in the Word of God. I have to be praying. I have to be doing those things so that I know what God wants me to do so that I can in turn lead my family direction. But not only that, I lead them by service. Do you know this? The Bible, every time it talks about godly leadership, it's servant leadership. Servant leadership. Leaders serve. Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to what? Minister and give his life a ransom for many. In the scripture here in Ephesians 5, and I'm trying to get to the message, but in Ephesians 5 here, I'm just telling you that here's what the Bible says, that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Gave himself for it. That's servant leadership. Here's the deal. Many men are going, yeah, I'd give myself for my wife. I'd die for her. If someone stepped out in our house and threatened us, you better believe I'd die. I'd die protecting her. Yeah, but you won't take out the trash. You won't help around the house. You won't show up from work with a good attitude, ready to help in the house. You won't lead family devotions. You're willing to die for her, but you won't live for her. You can't tell me. Jesus gave himself to the church in life and death. I just think it's funny. Yes, I would die. I'd die for her, but, oh, I can't live for her, for those kids. Biblical leadership is servant leader. Biblical dads are involved in the child raising. The Bible says this, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Specifically, ye fathers. The vast majority of homes, dad says, I work, I provide, I protect, mom raises the kids. Go read your Bible. Does mom have a part in raising the kids? Oh, you better believe it. Mother's Day was a couple weeks ago. You might have missed it. No. Dad, this is, God designed the home. Help meet, right? Husband, help meet. It's all supposed to work together, but there's nowhere in the Bible you'll see where dad is supposed to sub out the job of raising the kids to mom alone. It's just not in the Bible. We are to, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. Psalm 127. It says in that same passage, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, meaning children. I'm just telling you, Dad, you can't take a back seat to raising your kids. It's too common. The kids are acting up. Dad does nothing. Mom gets frustrated. Mom looks at dad. Mom looks at the kids. The kids are acting up. Dad does nothing. Mom always has to be the bad guy. Go discipline the kids. It's not in the Bible. That is not the system that God set up. Dads, you got to step up to the plate. You got to help raise the kids. You got to do more than just provide a living and protect the borders of your home. So let's talk about it, all right? Let's start the message here now. Proverbs chapter 20. Are we okay? There's some practical helps here, and I'm going to try real hard not to preach a sermon on each one of these, but there's some practical helps here in Proverbs chapter 20. I think there's four big ones that we can hopefully try to get today. And these are four what I just call man problems. So why did I end up in Proverbs 20? Because Proverbs 20, 3-7 deals with some man problems. Here's the first one, anger. I'm just going to try to help this morning. How are we to be godly dads? The first one is this: we're to model the right attitude. You know what men have trouble with many times is anger. Anger. Proverbs 20 and verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. If you're always angry, always contentious, always fighting, the Bible says this: that is a foolish attitude. Foolish attitude. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. The first piece of advice maybe that we could get out of this text, and by the way, there's like dozens of these. We're just going to look at these four because that's where the Lord led me. But so many times a man is, you know, maybe he's frustrated at work. Maybe he's frustrated by something at home. Maybe he's frustrated by some relationship or whatever, financial status. Whatever it is, he's frustrated. And instead of dealing with that in a godly way, like bringing it to the Lord and letting the Lord work on him that way, what will happen is he'll sort of bottle all that up, and eventually it just comes out in anger. And he's sharp with his wife. And he's short with his kids. And he flies off the handle. I've dealt with men who just, they almost brag about the temper that they have. They almost brag about, oh yeah, boy, anything that happens, I just fly off the handle. And I mean, my temper, I got a bad temper. And they're saying it, and it's like they're almost bragging about that. And I'm just going to tell, I want to tell them, you know what, I've counseled some on the other end of the anger. They don't brag about it. When you talk about, here's what I'm saying, when you talk to their children later in counseling and you're trying to help a wife later in counseling, they're not, oh, dad, you know, he had the best temper. They're not. Because it hurt them. It injured them. Here's the deal. We have a heavenly Father who the Bible says is full of compassion. I know he's a God of righteousness. I know there's times when he judges. And yes, he does discipline, but always, always, always with his children in love. Always. You'll never find wrath associated with the children of God. There's wrath. It's not the children. Anger. Guys, we got to get a hold of our anger. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Bible says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. As a dad, as a father, sometimes we view our family as our kingdom. And if things don't go exactly how we think, then, well, the king gets upset. We lash out. We already read the verse, provoke not your children to anger. There's a way to deal with your kids. There's a way to speak to your wife. And it should never be in unrighteous anger. You say, well, how do I deal with that? Well, that's I got three other points, so we're going to move quick here. But let me just say this. You got to have your heart right with God before you ever go into the home. Because if the way you deal with anger is you deal with it between you and the Lord. And again, if there's people involved, you need to ask for forgiveness or forgive or whatever. You go and you do that. But it all starts within your own heart. Sometimes it's just, I gotta get away from the situation for a few minutes. And I'm just talking about, it's like this. I say he's my mentor. I love him very much. Brother Dale Bigham has been such a help to me. He's retired a pastor now. And so he's been here before, so you may remember him. But he would say this: every man needs a shop. I agree. Say, why does every man need a shop? It's not so he can build stuff. Some of you that have a shop are smirking at me. I appreciate it. No, it's so sometimes you just got to get alone so you can get your mind right. And realize it's not the wife that is angering you. It's not the kids. Only by pride cometh contention. So really, it's not even the effects of the world. It's somewhere in here in our own heart. And until we get our own heart right, we're not going to be able to go home and model the right sort of attitude. So anger. The second one is this: ambition. And I know I'm just hitting all the big ones here. Ambition. Look at the next verse, verse 4. Oh boy, I'm not in Proverbs anymore. Verse 4, the sluggard. Now those are fighting words. You call me a sluggard, we're fighting. Now, don't try it after service. I'm not supposed to hit a Christian. But I just tell you, that's fighting words. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. I hate to get on all the man problems today, but listen, laziness is a man problem. Laziness. I'll remind you, laziness is a sin. God did not design us to be lazy. We need rest, sure, but we're not supposed to be lazy. You want lazy kids? Best thing you can do is model laziness for them. Laziness. The sluggard will not plow. I can't go plow. It's a little too chilly out there. Guess what? You're going to have nothing when the harvest comes. Let me ask you, Dad, what do you think your kids see? You say, I work hard. I go to work. I work hard. When I get home, I just want to park it. Okay, what do your kids see? Just think about it for a second. What do they see? They don't go to work with you. They don't see you working hard at work. What they see is Dad comes home and Dad sits down. What do they see Mom doing? This is tough. What do they see Mom doing? I know around my house, they never hardly ever see her sit down till they're in bed. Ambition. You see, there's this picture that the world has of a dad, and it irritates me. I can't hardly watch TV anymore for like a million reasons. I mean, anytime I turn it on, you know, when we moved here, we had like 4 or 5 TVs because there was like a TV in different rooms or whatever, you know, and now we have a few TVs. I'm like, I'm not hanging these things up. I never watch these dumb things. Why? I'm so sick of everything that's on there. It all just angers me. Then I got to go to the shop. But there's this picture of the American dad that every show has. And he's either angry, or he's lazy, or he's stupid. I'm so tired of shows it's like picturing that. He's such a buffoon. He can't figure out anything. What the wife's doing at all. Not only that, he's just sitting around kicking his legs up all the time. That's the picture they got. Why do you think the world came up with that picture? Because there's a lot of men just like that. God didn't create you to be lazy. He put Adam in the garden. He said, dress it and keep it. I mean, Adam in the garden. The Garden of Eden. You say he didn't get to get in the lazy boy. And listen, I'm thankful for my lazy boy. Call me about 5 p.m. That's where I'll be. Today, Sunday, pretty much pass out on Sunday night. I'm okay with times of rest, but you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. When Mom is strung out with all the work going on and tired, and like, you know, the kids have worn her out all day, all the projects around the house, and you're sitting, come on. Laziness. The next one, we got to go. God-centered wisdom. That picture that Hollywood has of the dad, he's a buffoon. He's an idiot. That's not how God created it. He's supposed to be the leader. Look at verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Can I just add I'm going to do this. I'm going to go back to laziness. I'm going to say, it's not just like doing things physically. It's this spiritual laziness. Spiritual laziness. That flows right into here. God-centered wisdom. Spiritual laziness. Dad, you need to be the one in the scriptures trying to learn what God says, so that you have the wisdom to lead your family. I'm thankful and I'm spoiled. I'm very, very blessed and fortunate to have a dad that when I hit a jam in life, I can pick up the phone and I can call him and I know he will give me godly wisdom. I'm telling you, I can't put a price tag on that. And I want to be that sort of dad for my kids. That if they get in a jam in life, because guess what? We all get in those jams. I want to be that sort of dad that they could call me and they could know, I don't know what to do here, but if I call dad, he'll know because he's got some godly wisdom. Let's think about the other way. You don't want your kids getting in a jam and going, well, I couldn't call dad. Who can I call here? How do you get a hold of godly wisdom? Well, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The last one is this: modeling faithfulness. Look at verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. I'm not going to talk about that. We just don't have time. I'll say this. If you have to tell everyone how good you are, you ain't good. You know what I'm saying? No, let's boil it down to something that I love. I love to go fishing. If you have to tell me how great of a fisherman you are, I probably know that you're not. Because it shows when you're out there. That's why I never tell anyone how kind of fisherman I am. I'm just kidding. You know, but here's how I read this verse, and I know, you know, the interpretation is here, pride is the problem, faithfulness is the solution. How I hear it is this: stop talking, start doing. A faithful man who can find, look, a faithful man who can find. We live in a day and a time, I'm thankful we have good, faithful men in our church. I want to say that before I say this. Because we do. We have good, faithful men in our church. I'm thankful for it. But we are in a time, and maybe it's been this way all along, but I know this. In America today, we're in a time where the church is saying, but a faithful man who can find? There's always more ladies than men attending everything we do. Always. Just facts. So he's upset today. I'm not upset. I'm just giving you facts. Just facts. Provable, observable facts. You can get ladies excited about the Bible and the things of God and church. Boy, it is so hard. You got to prod a man with an ox goad. But a faithful man who can find? Faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Lord. You can tell your kids anything. They're watching what you're doing. You can tell them anything you want. They're watching what you're doing. Faithfulness to the Lord. Do they know you love the Lord? Oh yeah, I tell them all the time. No, it said this, that you can share. What did it say? I lost it. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. No, I tell them all the time that I love the Lord. Okay, what are they seeing? Because a faithful man who can find. What are they seeing? When's the last time your kids walked in and they saw you reading your Bible, Dad? When's the last time? They saw you. They walked in, they're being rambunctious, they see Dad reading his Bible, they go, they don't want to make him angry. Back to that. When's the last time they caught you reading your Bible? When's the last time your kid walked in and caught you praying? It's a little bit embarrassing, you know? But when's the last time that happened? When's the last time you were leading them in the family devotions and it wasn't mom saying, hey, let's pray tonight. Let's, Dad, faithfulness to the Lord. Ought not to be mom saying, hey, get up, we're going to church. They ought to just know, Dad, we better not play with Dad. Don't even ask him. There was a point in my life where I did just stop asking if we were going to church and church events. Because I knew my dad. I didn't have to ask. Faithfulness. Faithfulness to your wife. You see how every one of these could be a sermon? Your kids need to see you be faithful to your wife. They need to see that. Oh, I tell them all the time how much I love her. What do they see? Your kids ought to see you every now and then give your wife a smooch. And they're all going to get grossed out. My kids start screaming and running. I'd go in harder. They need to see that you love her. I got a teenage boy. I know the world he's getting ready to go into. I know the dangers. You better start having conversations, Dad. Let him know the dangers. Be open with him. Let him be open with you. Let him see you be faithful to his mama. We could go on and on. Faithful to church. Faithful in our finances. Faithful in the lives of your kids. I learned this. My kids really don't care what we're doing as long as I'm there. They really don't. I mean, if my wife or I say, hey, I'm going to Walmart, do you know this? My kids want to go. There's never been a time in my life I wanted to go to Walmart. But they want to tag along. Why? Just being around Dad. Just being around Mom. I wish I had 40 minutes for each of these. So many kids are being injured because Dad just simply isn't present. He's just not there. He's always got something else more important. You understand, it's not more important. Faithfulness in your kids' lives, just being there for them. Why? Well, look at verse 7, we'll close. Because they are following. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed. The word is after him. The implication here is if you're living the blessed life following the Lord, they are following you and they will also be blessed because of your walk and they're following you. That's what that verse says. And that's after he's given us these four warnings. And he's saying, you do this because your children are following. I know it's Father's Day. You want to go eat lunch. We got services this afternoon, but I could take you to dozens of Bible stories. Unfortunately, most of them go the wrong way. Where Dad was leading, he was leading the wrong way, and his kids paid the price. I'm just telling you, Dad, you're the leader. It's really not hard to understand. If our commander-in-chief here in this country leads us down the wrong way, who pays the price? We do. It's no different. If as a pastor I stop following the Lord and I go my own way here at this church and God's put me in a position of leadership, do you know who will pay the price? Dad? When you're not leading the way God's called you to lead, do you know who pays the price? Go ask Jacob and Esau. I wish there were better examples in the Bible. There are a couple. But unfortunately, there's more negative examples. Go ask Solomon. Go ask Rehoboam. They are following, and they're blessed after you. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the day. It seems like a hard message, a heavy message. Certainly not my intention, but God, sometimes I just feel like we need a wake-up call as men. We're looking around at our country, and we're crying about the shape that it's in, but it really all boils down to the home is broken. And unfortunately, it's not just outside of the church, it's inside the church. Lord, I'm so thankful for the men we have at this church. There are good, faithful men who are leading their homes right here in this church. I'm thankful. But I just ask God, if you've spoken any hearts, that they would make right what they need to make right, that they would deal with you. And Lord, that all of us, myself included, would be encouraged to step up to the plate, lead our homes the way that you've told us to lead them. Lord, we pray that you'd work and move in our time of invitation. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.